Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, look.
Yes, sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's for real.
Peace and blessings is the Bree Life Radio Show. Tonight, what is it? It's Thursday, and you know what we do on Thursdays. What we do best, we freestyle. That's right, it's Freestyle Thursdays on the Bree Life Radio Show. Tell your friends to call in 424-220-1862. That number, again, is 424-220-1862. You can also catch me in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio. com/Bree Life and talk to me if you don't want to call in. You can also follow me on Twitter at Bree Life Radio and at Facebook at Bree Life Radio. We're freestyling tonight, and also, oh, that's right, we got a throwback Thursday going on. This is our second week of trying this concept, and I'm telling you, this is a hot concept that everybody's digging it, so we're going to continue it in our format. What you do, you go on my Facebook page, you go on the Twitter page, you send me an email, you send me your throwback song, your favorite throwback song, or one that you just want me to play this particular week. We'll vote on it, and we'll play it. But first, before I go a step further, I got to do something. I got to do something for my beloved Crown Heights peeps to continue to let them know that I love them, especially in the group. I grew up in Crown Heights, so this is for you, Crown Heights. Love is always the message.
Thank you.
tell you, peace and blessings. That song brings back so many memories. It's brought back so many memories from my Crown Heights peeps. I don't know if you heard all the bleeping going on in the background, but between Facebook and my cell phones just light up when everyone hears that song. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. It's Freestyle Thursdays, but we're doing it with a twist, with a throwback. We're playing throwback songs that remind you of the 80s and the 90s. That particular song reminds me of so many parties that I went to in Crown Heights as a teenager, at St. Mark's Church, in the youth group when we used to have parties, some basement parties on Union Street, Carroll Street, Crown Street. But one particular memory, fond memory of that song was when me and my cousin Hope was allowed to go to Empire for the first time and I learned how to roller skate backwards. That's right. I said Empire roller skating rink, people. So what do we do on Thursdays? We're freestyling. And tonight, I have a special guest. He's helping me co-host for the first hour. He was a guest panelist last night. His name is Dwan, and we're going to bring him on right now. Dwan, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. How you doing?
I'm great. Can't you tell? It's Thursday, and we're freestyling.
I hear that. I hear that. I'm sitting here jamming to that throwback. I remember myself, actually. I grew up at Skate 22 in Union. I don't know if you know anything about that rink, but that was my skate.
I want to also send a shout-out to all my Jersey listeners. Thank you
for supporting
the Bree Life Radio Show.
That's right. And so, yeah, I remember that. I mean, the skate ring over there, they would play the mess out of that song, particularly around 10:30 to 11 o'clock. You know, that's when the shift happened. And, I'm very familiar with that song.
And just as a special shout-out, two Crown Heights people in particular, one that just called me, Christopher Reddish from Carroll Street, peace and love. You know, I love you to death. And Joe Tribby, who I went to 161 and Leffers with. So that's a big shout out to two of my Crown Heights fans. So let me tell you, I have a freestyle. But before we get into the freestyle, there's a couple of birthday shout-outs that I must give. My cousin Butch in Brooklyn, I want to send a special birthday shout-out to him. And we're going to do other birthday shout-outs throughout the evening. Since this is your first time, Dwan, on the freestyle show, let me tell you how it goes. We don't have a special format. This is an organic show. We go with the flow. We talk about pop topics. We talk about hot topics. We talk about personal situations or indirect situations. We do a little gossiping without getting in trouble. We just let it flow.
All right.
So
Okay. Everyone
who comes on the show, they usually come on the show with an individual freestyle of their own.
All right.
You like to start the show with your own particular freestyle?
Anything not at the moment.
On your mind and heart? Anything in the news that's bothering you that you want to discuss?
I can't think of anything right now. I'm gonna just ride along with the train and see how the night goes.
I like that. I like that. Well, I'm going to start the show with my own personal freestyle. Let's see. Okay. over the last couple of weeks, and I don't know what happens in October and November, but it seems that the closer you get to Christmas, the more that you hear about people breaking up. These summer romances seem to fizzle out in the fall. And I'm hearing about some really ridiculous or some really unnecessary breakups. You know, what happens to people at the end of relationships where they just get completely ignorant? You know? Someone called me yesterday and told me about a boyfriend of theirs that obviously she has a vehicle and he doesn't. And she was loaning him her vehicle. And he got mad and said that, you know, he got mad at her because she didn't want him to use the vehicle for an extended period of time. So then he turns on her and said, well, some mechanical problem happened with the car. And he said, I'm not giving you any more money towards the car. Well, an argument ensued, and okay, they broke up. They peacefully broke up. It was no drama until the very end of the last time that they had to see one another. And she claims that the last thing he said to her was that, I know you mad at me, but the money that I put into the vehicle, I want it back. We're going to have to talk about it sometime in the future because I want it back.
Wow.
Now, what is that? That's like, you know, being an Indian giver. First of all, if you had the opportunity to utilize the vehicle for an extended period of time, and we're not talking about thousands of dollars. We're talking about a few hundred dollars he may have put into that vehicle. Why would you ask the person back for the money when you had an opportunity to drive it on an average of 2 days a week? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's pretty out there.
Why do people get grimy like that? And listen, I'm the most unbiased woman you're going to encounter, because I know that women can do some things to really push men off the deep end. So I'm the middle of the road. I'm not for wrong and strong. I'm for what's right all day long. You know? So if a woman is wrong as two left shoes, I'm not co-signing her. If a man is wrong, it's too less, I'm not co-signing him. I don't care if we share DNA or whatever. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But what I don't understand is, okay, and then also I can understand if two people had a lot of things vested in one another. They were either married and they got divorced and the divorce is messy and they fighting over stuff. I can understand two people who cohabitated for an extended period of time and they trying to separate the things that they shared or bought together. But two people that dated under a year, and this person, one person may have helped the other, and when you was given the help, you never indicated that it was a loan. Could you please shed some light from the male perspective on this? Since it was a woman that was going through this with a man, since you are a resident man for the night, let me hear from you.
Yeah, and I'm very I can't wait to hear what the listeners have to say about this topic. But I do want to set some kind of foundation for the situation, because before any relationship breaks up, there's one thing that is a problem. You know, the number one reason for relationships breaking up is selfishness. I mean, that's just straight up and down the truth. You know, people get selfish you know, when you first go out and, you know, you're trying to impress, you can't really do enough, you know, for that individual, you know, because you're trying to impress them, you're trying to win them. You know, after a while, you take them for granted, you know, as a relationship, you know, take its course. And then, you know, and all of a sudden you just start to get real selfish. Now, this brother here, he was just straight up trifling. You know, I mean, I'm not sure exactly, you know, who he is. I mean, I hope he's not a family member of yours, but that right there is okay, good. Thank God.
I just said, if you wrong, it's two left shoes. I don't care if we share DNA or not. I'm gonna tell you about it.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's the main issue in relationships. You know, just to paint a picture, you know, before others share their comments. You know, if you take two people and, you know, imagine two people facing each other, you know, if you could just kind of paint an imaginary picture in your head. And this, the man has his mind on her, on doing for her. Okay, so now his mind is directed towards, what can I do for her? What is it that I can do for her? How can I make her better? How can I make her grow? How can I make sure that she won't have to work so hard in whatever she does in life? You know, imagine a man that has that kind of mindset. Now,
yeah,
when
what
you look
a concept.
At the woman,
where is he at? Can I get
I'm
his
sorry. There are many men out there. It's very hard. It's very hard for people to really understand this, but I mean it's golden, because if you want a relationship to last, your service towards that relationship is key, you know. And now going back to what I was saying, if you have a man that has a mind to do nothing but serve her, and then you have a woman that has a mind to do nothing but serves him, nothing can get in between the space of that relationship. I mean, nothing. There's nothing that can break that relationship. Why? Because there's nothing in the air that can tempt them to do otherwise, because they're not thinking about themselves. They're thinking about one another, and that's how people grow healthily in relationships. Now, mm-hmm. on the flip side, when you take two people that are selfish, you really only take one. But if you take two people that are selfish, you know, okay, now they're face-to-face. One person, the guy has his mind on himself, and then the woman has her mind on herself and what she can get out of the relationship versus what she can give to the relationship. There's mm-hmm. so much space and so much temptation in between that relationship that is crazy. I mean, you're setting that relationship up for failure. You really are, you know, and that's how relationships break up. That's the number one reason for relationships not lasting, and that is pure selfishness. You know, human beings are the most selfish people, you know, God has created, you know, and that's something that we have to work on. You know, that's part of a work that we have to do. You know, it's just like breaking habits, you know. So for some people, selflessness it comes natural. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, because everybody has their pushing points and their limits, you know, we have to work on some things. But that right there is key. If two people can get together and say, okay, or two people can have the same mindset, rather, let me fix that, have the same mindset, rather, to say, okay, I'm going to do for you, and I have my mind on doing nothing but serving you, and the woman feels the same, then there is absolutely nothing that can come in between that relationship. That relationship will grow together and grow strong.
And
so,
you know what?
I mean, that's not an opinion. That is reality, you know. And until people understand that, you know, they really won't be happy with anyone, because if I can get the best woman in the world, okay, the best woman, the best looking woman in the world, you know, she has all the qualifications that she meets all the qualifications that my standards hold and everything. If I can get her and I don't practice selflessness with mm-hmm. that woman, no matter how good she is, I'll eventually take her for granted after a while. 5 years,
yeah,
10 years down the road, I'll take her for granted, you know. Now, this is nothing wrong with this woman. So what's wrong? It's me and my mindset in that relationship. And so that's pretty much the foundation of a relationship. You have to be a person that's willing to serve your partner.
Well, we're gonna go to commercial break on that note. When we come back, not only am I going to tell you what kind of person this was, but it's so that you can really understand what happened, but we're going to be joined by our brother at arms that was with us last night, Alvin, and we're going to hear his views or what his freestyle is. So you are all listening to the Bree Life Radio Show, and we'll be back in less than a minute.
In 1 second
of 1 minute,
it only takes one word, one gesture, one story, one idea, one hug, one kiss, one smile, one hand, one look, one touch, one dream.
Everybody got a dream.
One gift. And one person to do one of these things to make one difference. Oh, yeah. Before I go,
One thought.
One thought.
Will you be the one to do at least one of these things? Today's segment has been brought to you by the number
one.
It's been Mark Said It in under
1 minute.
And we're back. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show, and it's Freestyle Thursdays. I'm joined with my co-host tonight, and I'm so excited, Dwan, who was so gracious for agreeing to keep me company for at least the first hour of the show. Dwan?
It's an honor to be on. It's
oh, my goodness. Enjoyed, and we enjoyed your energy last night, and you brought a dimension to the show that really needed to be heard, not just by the women, but, you know, there are brothers out there that need to hear what you had to say. And that's a perfect segue to the person who we're about to bring on right now, is my brother Alvin. And he brought a dynamic to our conversation last night on internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? We had a great show. We went into double overtime last night, people. So you know the show had to be off the hook. And I got stat numbers, and I know that you were out there listening. So I just want to thank you for continuing to support the show. But without further ado, we're going to bring Alvin on.
Oh, Alvin. Peace, my sister. How you doing, Sabrina?
Peace.
How you doing, Dwan? That's what's up.
Hey, how you doing, Alvin?
All right, I was just listening to the show. I just got to say this for the life of me. I'll never understand, and I'm speaking as a man, if I, you know, I've been in a lot of relationships, you know, whatever, some good, some bad, but one thing I've never done is give a woman something and take it back from her. I think that's low. Me personally, it's low budget. It's no class. I don't care what the situation is, because if you cared enough to give it to her, leave it with her. And I'm divorced. So I just left.
Mm-hmm.
When she was like, you got to go? I was like, listen, whatever, you can have that, because that wasn't the first thing on my list. You know, I looked on the inside, not the outside. I never could. I don't understand that. If you give a woman something, you cared enough to give it to her. Now it's petty that you want to take it back. I couldn't even see me, whether it be jewelry, money, whatever it is, I've given it to her. I gave that to her from the heart. So to take it back, to turn around and say, nah, I want it back, come on. I don't even care if she cheated, because I feel like even if I busted you cheating, you can still keep it, because that had nothing to do with one or the other. Because I think I got more than enough information, and now that I got, you know, enough what I need to walk away, you can have all of that. You know, I can't bring, I don't know. That's just me, you know.
And I gotta be honest, you know, that is typically, And I might catch some hell from the sisters out there, but I don't care. I could take you. That's typically a woman thing. Women usually, not all women, because you know that I do not like those blanket statements when people put all of the people in a particular pot. That's not what I'm saying. So if it's not applicable, I don't want to be getting no nasty text messages or Facebook notes or something like that. I'm telling you. But typically, that and I got two brothers on the line, so you can tell me if you think I'm right or wrong, but that is typically a thing that women do. Because let me tell you from the woman's perspective how we're thinking. If we give you something, right? We don't want what we give you for you to be sharing, enjoying with somebody else.
Yeah.
So, and that's typically why a person will take things back. There's only two reasons. One, because you mean and sorely and you just want to take it back for no apparent reason, or because it's an item that can obviously be enjoyed by somebody else.
That's understandable.
New man or your new woman. So that's why people get down like that and they take something back. When I heard this story, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. People are still doing this in their 40s?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
We're talking about middle-aged people. I'm not talking about 20-something-year-old young people. I'm talking about 40-plus, 50-plus year old people.
Wow.
I got another freestyle. But I think I'm going to wait a little bit because, Brother Alvin, I want to hear from you. What's happening
here
in the world today? Did you do FaceTime with the future?
I didn't do FaceTime today. I was sleeping a little bit, and then dealing with just daily life and stuff. But I mean, the phone call came in. I did the phone call and stuff. So because when she do the FaceTime, she got to travel for that. She got to travel to get to pick up the Wi-Fi.
Okay,
yeah,
just
it's different.
For the listeners who didn't happen to catch our show, firstly, I do want to remind some people because I got a few, I got a lot of messages today. First of all, for the two people that are on the line now, that my guest panelist and co-host that joined us last night, we had an awesome show. I got such great feedback about it, and it's clear that the show was great because we went into double OT. So I want to thank, again, I want to thank my co-host, Red Sable. I want to thank the guest panelists, Patricia Ellie, Duane, Marie. I want to also thank my roving guest co-host, Mark in Houston, Texas. I want to thank Alvin because that dynamic that you brought in that we're about to talk about, because I got some phone calls about you today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, brother. We're going to talk about you. That's one of the freestyles tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got some phone calls about you. I got phone calls. I got text messages. I got some email. I got Facebook messages. They was like, oh, my God. So for the listeners who didn't happen to hear the show last night live, you can go on my blogtalkradio.com/BreeLife page and go to my archives. You can listen to last night's show, and you can listen to shows going back to the first show that aired, which was January 23rd of 2012. So last night, we had a show on internet versus conventional dating. What's the difference? And we were having this discussion for about an hour and a half about the differences between going on the internet and meeting someone versus a chance meeting. And then, of course, our guest panelist, Patricia Ellie, who is the founder of MahoganyLinks.com, which is a service that she provides after work events for single black professionals and mixers and speed dating, which I've never done. I'm curious to see what it looks like, not on TV. I actually want to go to a live event and be like a fly on the wall and see this 5-minute conversations that go on within an hour, having 12 conversations over a 5-minute period. I mean, over an hour period, 5 minutes. I don't know if I could do that successfully because I'm a very granular, as Mark so calls me. I'm a very granular person. And by the time I finish telling you about myself or what I do, it's up. You know? So, but again, Alvin came on an hour and a half into the show, and as you know, my show is only 2 hours, and came in with this international internet dating concept. He met the love of his life on a social media app and fell in love, flew across the world to get to know her face to face. He calls her, she calls him every day. They do FaceTime on the iPads, and he's actually going to marry this woman.
And
She's wow. from Singapore. And, you know, some people feel a way about that. And they
really?
Wonder.
Really?
I had to share that with you. Some people feel a way about why in the world would you go all the way across the world for love when there are so many, and I quote, sisters in this country, let alone Brooklyn. And I know you made your funny comment about the fact that you've been looking for me. You've been walking around Crown Heights looking for me for 25 years and you couldn't find me. And there's a reason for that, because I've been practically all around the world in the last 25 years. But
See? Mrs. International, see?
I know, but listen, for as much as international, I have never dated outside of this country. You took this to a higher level. So, Alvin, for our listeners that didn't happen to hear the show last night, and for the ones that didn't and call it in tonight to see what you are going to say about some of their comments. There are some sisters that are very upset with you.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they was like, Singapore, for real? You know, that's our, for real? He had to go all the way to Singapore? And I'm right here on Gates Avenue?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny when I hear this because I'm like, you know, it's you know, I've been in many relationships. You know, I've been in a lot of relationships. You know, like I said, some good, some bad. It's not. I've always taken each relationship how it's happened. I've never, mm-hmm. you know, and that's just me personally. I've never been the type to, I can't just date anybody or just, you know, something really has to happen between me and that person. There has to really be a connection for me to, you know, put my heart out there. And that's just from coming up young with a lot of broken hearts over women I've chased that, you know. And then, as I got older, I had to learn to take my time and stuff. And, you know, once I've let it happen or once it hit me that I'm attracted to this person, I'm going to go. And that scared a lot of women just from the way I was, that they seen that I would go through any boundaries to show them that I'm loyal to you and I'm going to be with you. You know, it wasn't just that. It's just the way that she came into my life, you know, and it didn't turn into love that early. You know, as we got to know each other down the road, then it started to develop. And then it hit me.
So then, you know, because at first, and she'll be honest to say, well, she didn't think I, you know, she didn't take me serious at first. And I was like, that's fine, you know, but I would rather you take your time and see that I'm for real, you know. Uh-huh. So I had to, so, you know, it was to her, I had to let her know, listen, it doesn't, I told her, and it could be any woman I'm loving. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I'm going to come find you. If me and you are connected and I feel for you and I fall for you and I want you, I'm going to go. It doesn't matter. I'm going to find you and I'm going to get next to you. I'm going to stand next to you.
Yeah.
Because that's, I believe, I, that's just my personal belief, that that's what true love is about. You know, and because if I just put my, just, I don't have boundaries to love. You know, if a woman falls for me, there's women that fell for me that I couldn't be with. I was like, it just wasn't happening for me. And I wasn't going to just break her heart or just sleep with her to, for the sake of I want to get it off. You know, I just never been like that. I just can't be like that. You know, I've lost homeboys behind not being like that. They were like, this guy crazy. He, you know, I mean, there's times they'd be like, yo, you hit the number. Let's go do this. They want to do outlandish. That's just not me. I'm the type, I'll hit the number, buy a bottle of Moet and play a video game, you know. So when love, that's just how I am, you know. So
right.
When it comes to love, it falls that way for me the same way, you know. And that's just how it was. You know, Bri, if you was on the other side of the world, and me and you, it'd be no different for you. It'd be no different. I would come and get you. If I fall for you, I love you, I'm coming to get you.
But you it's would really, you would come and get me?
I would come get you the same way. I would get, no matter where you were, if there was a connection with me and you and we was talking and we got close, I'm going to come get you. And that's just the way I am. I'm not going to, you know, a lot words, I could say anything to you, you know, and that's what I wanted her to understand, because it was already the internet. And she had, I wanted her to understand that, listen, we could say whatever all day. I could tell you I love you all day, but if I'm not showing you that, you ain't seeing that. I mean, no matter how many packages I send you, no matter how much, it, you know, after a while, and then there's no touch, I got to be next to you, you know. So once that happened, I had to let her know, listen, you know, I said, I'm going to come out there. I said, I've never been on a plane before. That's why I knew it was destiny, because I never got on a, I never left the States. So
right.
That's what I knew. I knew this was something special. So I went ahead, got my, I went to the doctor, got my shots, went ahead, got my passport for the first time, and I said, you know, and I let her know I'm out of here, you know. So that's when everybody on that side of the world shut it down, because they said, ain't no guy from New York, black guy from New York, going to come all the way over here. I said, whatever. They said, he ain't got no money. I said, you better look on Facebook and look at my pictures. I said, I'm in construction. I said, what you talking about? I said, they talk too much. I told her, I said, listen, when I get over there, I don't want to meet your friends. They're losers. I said, I think it should just be me and you. You know, and that's just the way it flows. And it was good, you know. And it, because we got to know each other down the line, you know.
Well, I
it's funny. It's funny.
Go on.
No, it's funny that somebody mentioned about their sisters in Brooklyn. I mean, my ex-wife is in Brooklyn. You know, I have a beautiful 5-year-old boy with her, you know, and we're civil for him. I have, you know, so I it's just funny. That's why I'm laughing at some of the, you know, I still want to hear some of the backlash, because I hear it's backlash.
Oh, well, it's so, coming.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. You know, people are going to feel the way they feel, you know, because, I mean, people, you know, when they first look up, friends of mine, they look on my page at first, when I was talking about leaving when I was at work, they couldn't believe it. They were like, you're going where? The eyes got, they were like, you're going where? I said, she's in Singapore. I said, she's working. I said, her schedule, because she take care of the kids and stuff, it doesn't permit her to, you know, she can't come out. I said, when she has a holiday, her break, I'm going. People could not believe it. But I was like, it wasn't a shock to me, because I just was like, well, you know, some people, it depends on the lengths you're willing to go if you love someone, you know. And, I mean, I've been in love in here, right here in this country, with many women. I fell for them, and it didn't work out. It folded. They broke my heart, you know, all, so on and so forth.
Well, here's,
you know, but,
I want to make a comment to what you said. Sure. I'm going to take a station break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined with my co-host, Red Sable. And which, you know, she's the protagonist. She is not digging this at nothing. She,
I heard last night. I felt it last night.
Under the radar. She does not want that type connection. But what I want to say to you is, you're right about something, and it's something that I've also experienced, not internationally, but when I was doing the internet dating, I did find that when I would meet, when I would talk to someone, initially engage with someone that lived outside, like, let's say, 100-mile radius or lived in another state than I did, it forced us to talk to one another more because we couldn't see each other. And see, for me, I think that is the perfect tool that most people don't give themselves, two people don't give themselves an opportunity to do enough before they commit to being in a relationship, let alone just even seriously dating. Because the advantage of meeting someone on the internet, which I did not get a chance to say on the air last night because we went into double overtime, but the advantage to internet dating for me, was that I exercised the ability to pick, choose, and refuse. When I met someone and I talked to them and I had dialogue and we did it for, you know, if we liked one another in that first conversation and we continued to talk to one another, especially since most of the time that you meet somebody, I don't know what either one of your experiences might have been, but most of the time when you meet someone on the internet, they don't live around the corner.
Right.
Not the people that you click with. It seems like you click with more people that live further away than live across the street. Mm-hmm. And my experience is that when you talk and you do and you take the opportunity to exercise good communication skills with one another and good conversational etiquette, and you're listening to one another. If you allow yourself to really listen, you can pick up on those red flags real easy.
Yeah.
So sure that this is somebody that you do not want to even share a meal or coffee with. And that was my you know, filtration process, so to speak. You know, soon as I heard something that either irritated me or was inappropriate, or just a flag, and I asked more questions about that, and then I got further concern, I was like, okay, well, you know, it was nice talking to you. I wish you peace and blessings. And I'm out. But on that note, we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined with our two gentlemen for the night, Dwan, who's my co-host, and my very good friend, Alvin, who I grew up with
here.
In Crown Heights, who's been looking for me for 25 years, but somebody else, so that's my bad. and you got
me in trouble with the whole community.
I'm telling me still. and soon we'll be joined with Red Sable. So we're going to take our commercial break, and we will be back in just a moment.
It is very common to hear people use the phrase, I'm going to be me. I'm not changing for anybody. And they use that phrase a lot of times to suggest that nothing's wrong with them and they're fine with being who they are. But here's a question. What happens when being you leaves you with only you? You know, like you're acting the way you act and people leave the room.
You lose two or three friends at a time.
You talk to the mirror more than you talk to your best friend.
You take long walks in the park holding your own hand.
My suggestion is don't change. Don't change.
Don't change.
Because, after all, you like being you. Now, here's some problems with being you. Not considering you may end up walking through the room holding your own hand by yourself. But that's okay, because guess what? You're still being you. So, if you're liking it, I'm loving it. And remember, don't stop being you.
Don't you change, baby.
Not for anybody. Even yourself. This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
And we're back. It's the Bree Life Radio Show. It's Freestyle Thursdays with a throwback twist. We're playing songs from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But without further ado, we are about to be joined by my co-host, Red Sable. And there's no other way to bring her into the freestyle than doing this. Peace and blessings.
Hey, peace and blessings. Hi, guys. Hi,
how
Grace.
Are you? Are you rested from the double overtime show
yes.
from last night?
Yes, yes, I am. We had an amazing show last night. It was extremely inflammatory.
inflammatory.
Yeah, it was. At the end, it got a little bit inflammatory. And it was informative as well. You know, I was privy to some interesting stories. So that was good. So it was definitely good. It was a good show. So I am rested for tonight's show as well. So,
hey, so I'm sure you've been listening. And
yeah,
as you know, I'm joined tonight with our guest co-host, Dwan. He was so gracious to come back and keep me company.
Hi.
And,
how you doing?
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Alvin is the international lover. That's going to be his.
I sense a bit of sarcasm in that title.
So I still can't wrap my head around that story. That's just amazing to me.
Well, before we jump on Alvin, because I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you just heard me say, I have received phone calls, text messages, Facebook notes about Alvin. The sisters out there are very concerned about Alvin.
Mm-hmm.
Before we talk about that, there's some housekeeping that needs to be done. This evening, I had the good opportunity to go to a intermediate school here in Brooklyn, in Canarsie, and speak to a group of women and young ladies, I mean elementary and junior high school age young ladies, about the issue of domestic violence. And that was through an organization called PUC, which is chaired by Marie Joseph. She was the person who invited me to come and participate and to speak in this forum and workshop. It was a really rewarding experience, and I want to thank her along with our good friend of Real Life Radio, Carl Joseph from Jericho Rose, who's program director. I just want to mention again to those who are interested in supporting his association. The name of his association is Jericho Roads, and it's jerichoroadsdv.com. You can go on that website, and if you can't participate in the walk this weekend, which is taking place on Saturday, October 22nd, at Battery Garden, they're going to be meeting at Battery Garden Restaurant Plaza in Battery Park City. And the walkathon is to raise resources to assist women and men and children who have been subject to domestic violence, and to also give scholarships to those children that are in school and who are doing well. They give them a stipend for their first year of college to be able to buy a laptop or an iPad, put it towards the purchase of books, because, you know, books cost almost as much as the daggone classes in community colleges. I don't know if you realize that, but I know that Dwan probably knows that better than anyone more recently on the panel here, because he just finished. Tell us about your latest academic accomplishment, Dwan. I always like to support those who take the time out of busy schedules to enrich themselves and to gain further knowledge and to be able to progress. So tell us about what's your latest academic accomplishment. was.
Yeah, well, the past year and a half has been, you know, it's been a pretty, say, close to 2 years. It's just been, you know, it's been a pretty rough season for me. But one thing that I always want to implement, no matter what's going on in my life, is something that can help me grow as a person. I've been going to school off and on for the last 8 years, but I finally decided to go ahead and finish. And so I graduated from college out in Indiana. It's called Crossroads College, and I graduated with a bachelor's in business. And I'm telling you, I am so happy that school is over. You know, it's been a rough ride, but it's been a good one. it's been a rough ride, but a good ride. I'm glad it's over.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to applaud you for even in times of personal challenges, you still was able to push through and to do something for self, to not allow your circumstance to become an actual part of your reality. And that's really the message that I was trying to convey to the group of women that I was talking to this evening. So I encourage those to go to JerichoRoadsDV.com to lend some support, or to actually show up at the walk on Saturday. I'll be walking, so come out and join me to help support the cause. So,
All right. We're
back, and we're going to talk to Red. I want to know, Red, come on. Tell me what the style is tonight. I know you got something good for me, right?
I do. Now, Tuesday, as you know, Tuesday was Speak Your Truth Day. That
mm-hmm.
was Tuesday. I woke up and I felt like I was sick and tired of people throwing their own perceptions on others. Whether your perception of one person is good or bad, it doesn't make them who you think they should be. So you should be allowed to be who the hell you are. So that's why I came up with Speak Your Truth Tuesday, and you and I had a little counseling session about that. So today I came up with Free Your Ass Thursday. Which
oh!
Is
I love that.
Free your ass from your past and welcome your future.
Past, okay.
Because we are all become prisoners. We've become prisoners of what happened before. That's done. It's over. If you were blessed enough to learn your lessons, then you can move on and take that history and that wisdom and pass it on to someone who needs it. Stop hanging on to things that you can no longer control. It's over. It's done. And so today, my freestyle is Free Your Ass Thursday.
All right. We got to keep that going. Free Your Ass Thursday. You heard it here.
Absolutely.
You heard it here on the Bree Life Radio Show.
So I do have a couple of concerns today. Some of it was interesting. I found interesting because I'm in the entertainment industry, I always have to pay attention to what's going on in music and in pop culture and things like that. So P. Diddy was in a car accident, and he got up and walked away from it after laying in the street and refused to see a doctor. I found that really interesting, but I guess he's going to be seeing one on his own. So I found that to be very interesting, and thank God he was able to get up and walk, because the man is a father. He has children that are dependent on him, so I wish him a speedy recovery. The other thing I found interesting is that not on the pop culture side, but more on the news side, which freaked me out. There is a young woman who was being bullied so badly that she decided to jump in front of a train. She's only 16 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I found that to be extremely traumatic just to hear it. And her face is all over the internet. They're actually sending it around Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that to say prayers for this young girl, because what could have led her to do something so horrendous? Like, that is the most horrible thing that I could think of that you could do to yourself. And she did it in front of her friends. So her friends witnessed her doing that. The other thing is, and I thought that was bad enough, but then it got worse. They arrested a police officer for, I guess he was plotting or attempting to find a way to make this thing happen, but he came up with this plan that he wanted to kidnap young women, rape them, kill them, and then eat them. Now, one of those stories, I couldn't figure out which story is worse. They both were so horrendous. It was beyond belief. I just couldn't even believe that people are doing. How do you come up with stuff like that and you're wearing a badge is crazy. Now, I'm not saying that all police officers are walking around here trying to maim and kill and become carnivores. I'm not saying that. But what was in the mind of this guy who's only 28 years old to come up with this? This is just beyond me. And he got caught. He did not kill anybody, thank God, because his idiocy decided that he was going to send emails talking about what he was going to do and what type of woman he was looking for with his partner so that they can get the women that would fit perfectly in his trunk. So I had to get those things off of my chest. I just really am bugged out. The world has gone crazy, and we are all just trying to find a space in the world. So along with the other freestyle that I had earlier about free your ass and get rid of your past, I'm also saying that, you know, if you can find your love, find it, whatever makes you happy, joy in it, because this is crazy. This is just, it's crazy to me. People are killing themselves or being hunted like animals to be killed. That's the type of world that we live in. And I just really have nothing to say to Alvin other than good luck.
Thank you.
And be you, do you, and I hope it works out for you. Be careful.
Oh, thank you.
You don't want to end up in a trunk, boo.
No, that's for real. No, that's for real. That's definitely real. That is not, you know, it's funny, but it's for real, because, you know, how it happened for me, I don't suggest people just do that, because everyone can't do that. You know, you can't just, you know, because you don't know what you might really be running into. You step off that plane, you might not be stepping back on. I would never suggest that, you know, that's why I said it was destiny from the way it happened and how it happened. You know, everything doesn't fall like that. You know, so even here, I was dating a sister that lived in Denver. I never went to Denver, but I flew her to New York. And as crazy as that was, I had to fly her back to Denver. but you know, you just never know.
Wow. We have to have a show about crazy internet dates. I'm gonna let you guys read the book, but I mean, I've had some crazy internet dates. Like, you know, when I say crazy, I mean, like, for instance, a guy in his profile, like, who was the person who said that, you know, a person put the picture up there and he put the profile up there and the person doesn't look the way they look in the picture when you meet them face to face?
I believe I mentioned that yesterday.
Right, well, that happened to me. That happened to me. This is a story that I've told several times on the show. One time I went to a restaurant out east in Long Island, in a town called Orion Point, which is the last town on the northeastern shore of Long Island. And you could take there's a ferry that leaves there that goes to Rhode Island. And the person, actually Connecticut, the one of the last towns in Connecticut, New London. And the person lived in Rhode Island. So what he did was he drove to Connecticut, took the ferry over to Orion Point, and I met him out at Orion Point at a seafood restaurant. And when I got there, you know, most people know that I worked in the healthcare industry at one point in my life. And during that point when we were talking over the phone, getting to know one another, that's what I was doing. And obviously he had a debilitating joint disease that he chose not to share with me on the phone. He waited for me to get to the restaurant to see that he was handicapped. Now, I don't have anything. I have nothing against people who are handicapped. What I have a disdain for are people who are deceitful.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if you're going to talk to somebody for 4 weeks on the phone every day and not disclose, which we had that show too, disclosure, who and what you are to some degree. I mean, okay, of course, naturally, there are things that you're supposed to learn about a person organically by spending time with them. But things that could be game changers, that could be concerns, that a person may have a problem with, why put yourself through traveling to another state, traveling 2-3 states away, to come to that person's respective state to go on a date, and you show up unlike you appeared in your profile? I mean, that's crazy. When I got to the restaurant, I walked down the aisle, and the further down the aisle I went, I came upon this walker in the aisle. And I said, well, I'm about to own this restaurant, because if I didn't see this and I tripped over it, I'd be owning the restaurant. Right? So I looked and I was like, and then all of a sudden my phone started ringing. So I answered the phone, and I hear the person's voice louder in back of me than I hear coming through the phone. So I turned around and I said, hello, is this, and I looked at him, I said, hi. So I said, you know, whose walk is this? Because somebody gonna get hurt. So he was like, Sabrina, let's get a table, because he was sitting at the bar. He said, let's get a table so I can talk to you. And I'm like, you know what? The last time somebody said, I have something to tell you, was in 1996, in April of 1996, and I should have got up from the table then. I would have saved myself a lot of grief. But unfortunately, I wouldn't have my son.
Oh, well, it worked out.
Right. That's the blessing in it. But in any case, when we sat down, and he grabbed the walker as we walked into the table, I said, what's wrong with you? I said, what is wrong with you? He said, I'll tell you when we sit down. So I was like, did you get hurt last week or something? You know, he had a walker and a cane. I said, this ain't good. So we sit down and we start talking. And he said, I have a debilitating joint disease. It's like multiple sclerosis meets rheumatoid arthritis. Now, here's my problem. And he said, and here's to add insult to injury, he told me that he would be wheelchair bound within the next 5 years. Now, let me just tell you what date that was. That was May 2005. So by now, he would have already been in the wheelchair 4 to 5 years. Okay?
Wow.
And my problem is, again, why didn't you tell me this while we were talking on the phone for a month? And he was like, well, I figured because you're a healthcare worker, you would have some compassion. I said, listen, two things. One, I wanted you to tell me the truth on the phone so I can make a decision on my own. You taking choices away from me. That's number one. Number two, who says that after taking care of people all day long, that I want to come home and take care of someone like that? Not like that meaning cripple or handicap. That's not what I mean at all. I mean having to take care of someone out the gate in a brand new relationship. I should have the luxury of making a decision about the type of relationship that I want to be in without you manipulating the truth.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So that was one thing. That was one date. Then the next thing that happened.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
The next thing that happened was that the guy told me he was 5'10", and he was just about as tall as my 9-year-old at that time was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, you don't think, and what's so funny, because you see this in the movies, when you're walking, you know, when you're in a crowded restaurant or something, and you're walking down, you're walking towards each other, and the crowd starts splitting, and the closer you get, usually the taller people get, right? Well, the closer he got, the shorter he got. I was like, and see, listen, let me tell you what happened. I'm in a famous after-hour chain restaurant on Friday in Long Island in May, okay? And I walk in, and I'm waiting for my date to come because I'm a little early. And it's crowded in there. So these five Caucasian sisters see me standing there. And they said, are you waiting for somebody? Now, they twisted, okay? They drinking, and they are having a good time. And I'm looking at them just laughing and giggling and having a good time. And they said, are you waiting for somebody? And I, at first I'm thinking, okay, are they trying to pick me up or are they just trying to be polite? And I said, yes, I'm waiting for someone. And they said, well, why are you waiting for your date? Come and have a cocktail with us. So I said, okay. So I started having, and that was the first time I ever had a martini. And by the time I finished hanging out with them, I had three. And then this brother comes in, Tiny Tim, walking towards me, and I'm taller than him. And, you know, for those who know me know that, you know, I like to think that I'm an average height size woman. Some people say I'm short. That's only in, you know, I'm tall in spirit, but I'm five five. So if I'm 5'5", and I had flat cowboy boots on, and I'm looking down on the top, almost on the top of this brother's head. How tall you think he was?
Oh, man. Lily
Tucci. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, and guess what? After three martinis, you want to know what my response was? Alvin, you know me all my life now. You know I said something completely off the hook. You know what I said?
What'd you say to him?
I said, where the hell is the rest of you?
So you shattered his dreams.
I was like, what is going on here?
What?
And he was like, what are you talking about? I said, listen, reading is fundamental. And I read your profile thoroughly because I have some standards, like my brother Duan said. I have some standards, okay? One of my standards is that you must be a certain height because I tend to like to wear high heel shoes. I can go from 5-inch heels to Timberlands, but, you know, I tend to like high heel shoes. So if I'm wearing high heels, it would be, you know, for aesthetics, you should be a little taller than me. You know, I'm like, that you said you was 5'10".
Oh,
and then you know what he said to me? What difference does it make? Because, you know, we all the same height when we in bed.
Oh, wow.
So I said, well, the bed that I get in, you would have to jump up into. And I ain't digging that concept. I'm out. Now, so let me tell you, how far he traveled only to come to New York and get sent the hell home. Alvin, you want to guess how many miles he traveled since you the last person on the line?
He didn't do more miles than me, but I want to know.
He didn't do more miles than you, but...
Where he came from?
He came from West Palm Beach, Florida.
He came all the way up. He should have just told the truth from Florida. Look,
he
I'm
drove
short,
here. He didn't even take a plane. He drove. It took him 27 hours on the road.
Oh, man. In 27 hours, but within 27, it would have took him 2 minutes to just tell you the truth. Look, I'm short. Give me a chance. You might as well have told the truth before them 27 hours.
Red,
you know, give
Red.
Me,
let's wait. Let's go to Red Sable. Red.
I'm short, so I'm on
wait,
the
wait, hold on now. How would... Come on now. Even the listen, short women don't like short men.
No, I don't. But although I'm 5'2", I don't... 5'6 is still short for me. So he would have to be taller than that. But then again, who's to say that universe may bring me the man of my dreams and he might be 5'5". I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, no. Do I prefer to have someone short? No. I prefer tall. I prefer strong. But love comes in different flavors, you know? Oh, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Up today, girl, all I heard was death all day. So, you know what? I'm not...
I just want to know. I just would like to know because it's going to be a hypothesis because it ain't never going to happen. But as far as you're concerned, but how would you react in the event that happened?
Oh Lord, you know I can't I wrap it around an internet date because I don't do that, but. If that was to happen, there would be an issue. I would bow out gracefully, but I would not see that person anymore if we weren't vibing on some other level. Knowing me, because I'm so business-oriented, my mind is always going to that, I would flip it to a business conversation because I got to get something out of it. I'm going to write it off on my taxes or something. You just wasted my time. This is going to go down as a business expense. Okay, I'm going to put the tip on the table. Give me the receipt. Have a nice night.
Wow.
Because
because
he lied. And I don't understand.
Yeah.
Don't lie. And, you know, this is my question to the men on the panel. Why, when you keep something to yourself, knowing that you're supposed to tell it because it's going to come out anyway, do you not think that's a lie? Why is that?
It's a lie. Especially if you're hiding it. You already know it's a lie because that's your conscience. If you even know you're hiding it, it's already a lie.
And Devon,
for real.
You know what, to be honest, and it's hard, it's very hard for me to kind of relate to to that type of guy, because I'm nowhere near that. You know, I try to be honest as I can be. You know, I mean, the truth will eventually come out anyway over time. And even dealing with online dating, and this is kind of one of the cons, you know, even from experience that I've ran into, you know, you could have a site up, and, you know, once you actually meet the person, it's just completely different. But, you know, going back to your question, it's hard for me to relate to, you know, to relate to that guy, because I wouldn't, you know, if I'm 5'2", I'm going to tell you, listen, I'm 5'2" and confident. You know, that's where I would come from with that. You know, I wouldn't lie about I wouldn't give myself an extra foot. You know, if something is wrong with me, if I have some type of handicap, some type of disability, then, you know, I just tell you up front. I mean, you know, why go through all of that? And then you actually meet the person only to be disappointed. Not just that, but traveling from one state to another, you know, you're spending airfare. It's just not even worth it. You know, I just can't even relate. I have no idea why people do the things they do. But, you know, that's to each his own, you know.
I just always found it interesting because most men will say, not all, because you guys are the exception, and I know a few others that are the exception. They will say, oh, well, I didn't think it was important, or well, I didn't think that it would matter, or why you didn't ask me? You asked me something else. So I always
Sometimes they don't think. Because for them to go that far, if I'm talking to you and we're supposed to be trying to build something together, you know, if I'm going to see you for the first time, I want you to know exactly what I told you over the phone is what you're going to see for the first time. I don't want no surprise. Because then once that happens, now the air of uncomfortability is in, I'm ready to be out, you know. I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's times that I might have had a blind date. I might say, yeah, I'm wearing a red shirt where I know I'm really wearing black just in case. I was like, I'm going to be out of there. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to see, first.
But that's not changing your attire. So that's completely different than telling you that you are short, you don't have no teeth, no limb, or you know, there's something major wrong with you. Knowing that could impact the relationship in some form or fashion, but you keep it to yourself. I mean, I don't know. I just always couldn't understand why keep things that you know are so detrimental a secret and then say it's not a lie, because it is a lie. So I always just found that interesting.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, even going back to the brother that you met, Bree. I mean, you know, to keep some kind of disability away from the relationship. You said you talked to the brother for about a month, right?
Yeah, about a month every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, that right there. You know, I remember talking to somebody about 5 years ago, and you know, I always wondered why it took so long for us to see each other. And it was because she was insecure because of a weight problem. And she never told me, because I've seen pictures of her when she was thinner. And so, I mean, I don't know if, you know, she was trying to work out or lose weight in between that time. But, you know, I decided to go. You know, I've been trying to go see her after the first week, you know. And, I mean, you know, we waited like, you know, a whole month and 2 weeks, about a month and a half. You know, and I finally found out, and, you know, I was disappointed. You know, not so much, you know, because she was still nice looking. But I wasn't disappointed so much of what I saw. I was disappointed that I spent time with this person. You know, even though it was a month and a half, it was still time spent. You know, that was a month and a half that I could have spent with somebody that, you know, I could have been real to and she with me. you know. But, I mean, I just was disappointed because she kept that away from me, you know. And so, I mean, you know, it's just things just flow a lot easier when you do it right the first time. Just be honest because the truth is going to eventually come out. You cannot hide a lie for too long. You just can't, you know, and especially dealing with situations like this. I mean, you know, this is one of my things coming from internet dating, you know, where people, you know, kind of twist the truth a lot and, you know, you're disappointed and, you know, it's not worth it. You know, it's not, I'm just a different guy. If I told you, you know, I had a weight problem, if I told you that I'm insecure in certain areas of my life, I just tell you that up front. You know, it's, you know, why hide that? And then we actually meet and you find out the truth anyway. You know, it's just not worth it. You know, it's best to just be honest, be sincere, be genuine, you know, and, you know, what's meant is meant. You know, if you can see yourself, you know, continuing to talk with that person and grow in relationship, then it's meant, and you'll know that it's meant because you've both been honest with each other from the start.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So at this time, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to go to commercial, and I'm going to play the next song that was voted on the most by our listeners. So we will be back in just a few moments.
Just the other day, I was involved in a very passionate and provocative discourse on race, race, race. You know, yeah, race, as in skin color differentiation and definition. And I came away with a thought. Injustice is never justified, but you'll never attain it by simply switching the color of the controller,
the color of who's in power.
To believe a person will administer justice to you just because he looks like you is a romantic psychological construct
that don't always work.
Justice can only come from those who are just, and that may not include the us that looks like you.
I'm just saying.
This has been Mark Said It in Under a Minute.
And we're back. And I'm going to play the next song for Throwback Thursday, and it's by the Gap Band.
My mind, baby.
And we're back. It's Bree Life Radio. Thank you to all my Facebook fam and my Twitter fam that suggested, and they voted. They got in practice. So you know what we got to do next Tuesday. We got to vote. It's very, very important. That was fans outstanding. Love it, love it, love it. Brings back memories. I love these throwback Thursdays. So we freestyling, people. Call in 424-220-1862. You can follow us on Twitter at Bree Life Radio, Facebook at Bree Life Radio, and if you're a personal Facebook friend, you know how to find me. So, gentlemen and ladies.
Yes.
Now, we have not heard from Alvin tonight with regard to before we leave the show. We have to hear what the two brothers freestyle for tonight is. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Alvin. What's your freestyle? What's pressing on your mind and heart heavy?
Pressing on my
Or anything?
More or less, it's really
anything you might have some.
It's really been the election. To be honest, it's really been this election. You know, because you know, growing up, I mean, we grew up this, you know, in the same time. You know. That I just, you know, and you throughout the years I've heard people say, you know, oh, we ain't never going to have a black president. You're never going to have a black president. You'll never see it. Da, 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 da. It's like now you got one, and it's like now the people won't vote. I'm like, I don't know. It just behooves me. Like, I just really don't get it. Like, you know, it's not just about him being black. It's just like, you know, you should be voting anyway. Because when things happen, you know, you don't agree with, you can't sit back and start complaining, and then you know, but you didn't really say anything. You know, you didn't do any, you know, not that your vote might not be the breaking thing that makes things happen, but still, you want to have some say in something, you know, and it's, you know, I don't know, that's just really where I've been at. Lately, like, you know, I've been looking at like what's happening on Facebook, the different opinions, like different sites and stuff. I seen the New York Post today talking about, like, you know, go with Mitt Romney, whatever. I said, well, what else would I expect out of them? You know, because I know, it's just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been strange like that. You know, I was really observing a lot of the things that's going on. You know, and I, you know, because it's, you know, I know I have people like my age that just don't even have a voter's card. I'm like, really? Like, why? I don't know. Just things like that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not only do we have a black president, but we have a black qualified president. You know, that makes it all the difference. And, you know, the fact that people are still not inspired to go out and vote, you know, it just really shows, you know, it just, you know, it kind of brings some light to where we are as people, period, you know, and not just black people, but people in general, you know, it really brings some light to that, you know, we have somebody that's actually qualified to do the job, you know, a lot of people are not voting for Obama, and I'm talking specifically, you know, within the African-American community. A lot of them are not voting just because he's black, but that he's also qualified. And, you know, at the same time,
that's why,
you know,
I voted for him the first time, because in truth, if I felt that there was a Caucasian or a Latino candidate that was qualified, that could turn the economy around in 2008, and put me back to work, I would have voted for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, if I didn't feel that Barack Obama was qualified, I would not have given him my vote. I did not vote for him based on the fact that he is a man of color. I voted for him because he came across as the most genuine, intelligent, the best candidate at the time that we had, and I'm very pleased with my choice. It's unfortunate that, you know, he's had to work with a House of Representatives
that is in complete opposition with him.
Get rid of him. That's the whole thing. He's like, let's fix this. They're like, no, we want to get rid of you.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They constantly undermine him every single step of the way. I don't know if any of you guys heard, but and I really hate to give it light, but since we're talking politics, we might as well go ahead. Donald Trump offered $5 million for the charity of President Obama's choice if he would prove his educational background.
This guy.
And all I kept thinking is how disrespectful, like, would you have done that to any other president?
No.
I just could not understand that. Why would you ask this man to prove anything to you? Who are you? And then going to give him money like he's some... disrespectful. It was
the level of disrespect I've watched with this with this president we have, it's great. There used to be laws where you couldn't even threaten the president. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. There were certain things you couldn't even say against the president. And now the way this is, it's been a madhouse.
How is it not treason to disrespect this president?
Right.
It has been acts since he has taken office that have been exercised against him.
Mm-hmm.
For real. That's like, wow. You know, I watched the debates. You know, it's not hard to hear what's coming out of one person's mouth and come out the other. You know, when the other one is just telling you that he want to put money into a military that's not asking for it, you got to see the irresponsibility. His mind, that means this guy, come on. It's not hard to know that you're not supposed to be doing that. You might be a good businessman, you know, yeah, you ship your jobs overseas and make your wealth, but you're not cut out for this. Because I've always wondered, where did he come from? That he just comes up and they endorse it. Where did he come from?
He's like many of the other millionaires who decided they want to get up there and make a name for themselves because there's more money behind them doing it. So that's what he's for.
Yeah.
He's not doing it for any other reason other than the fact that he's being ridiculously supported by all the other millionaires that's in his circle.
So if I hit the Powerball, I'm going to do it. Vote for me. I hit the Powerball, the Mega Millions, I'm going to run. Since it's like that, I'm going to stand up and go in there and do my thing and legalize a few things and say, now y'all got some money. Now give me another 4 years.
And we definitely would have to increase the Secret Service budget for you.
Why you say that? Why is that?
And I don't mean that in a derogatory way towards you, but because wouldn't be the conventional choice. This is not derogatory. This is realistic, okay? Because of you are who you are, and I'm speaking from a very strong perspective, that you have a militant undertone. Am I right, Brother Alvin?
Yes, I do. I do.
Because of that, we would definitely have to increase the Secret Service budget. Because, the people who don't necessarily look like us, they wouldn't appreciate you being in that office talking.
Yeah.
And you would be talking.
No, but I would try to be a cool, you know, I would try to make sure I do the right thing.
Oh, no. I'm not talking. Now, see, carefully. I never said anything about you not doing the right thing.
No, I understand.
I'm talking about you. We know.
I know. I know. But, you know.
No justice, no peace.
Right. You know.
Okay.
They're going to have to eat some of that because, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. You know, and if I'm up there, I'm going to have to remind them, listen, you know, I hit the Powerball. You got to love it or leave it. Cause, you know what I'm saying? Because when I leave this office, I'm still going to be good. I'm going back and chill. You know, so let me just get y'all right before I go. You know, unless y'all vote me out. You know, so you know that. I just feel like if they could go out there and do it, hey, somebody might as well do it. Since, because as crazy as Mitt Romney is, as insane as he is, I'm like, that'd be anybody can get up there and just do it. Because he, I already see that he don't know what he's doing. You know, I see that. I don't know how many others see that. But,
oh, yeah, a lot of people say it.
So I said, you know, hey, you know, I guess you could be inexperienced, and, you know, just sound like, just try to act, because one minute he say one thing, and next minute he say another. So I'm like, okay, I guess you go back and forth and then still be neck and neck. That's just, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out. But that's what's been on my mind lately, just watching what's going on. Because I know, because this election is, all jokes aside, it's really serious.
It's very serious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not a joke. You know, it's I'm just really watching it like, wow. You know,
very concerned. I'm extremely concerned. I mean, I'm just as concerned as I was when on election night when I was watching the results with my, at that time, 11-year-old son. And, you know, he was like, Mom, why are you sitting there like rocking? What's the matter? I was like, Lynn, you don't seem to understand.
Mm-hmm.
If McCain becomes president, you may be going, you may be joining your father in the military sooner than you think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm concerned for that reason. I'm concerned. I said, Glenn, if McCain wins, our condition, how we live in right now, is not going to improve much more beyond the state we're in right now. And we were in transition. Real talk. So that's when my son looked at me and he sat down beside me. And he was like, he stopped playing the PlayStation, everything. He was like, so, Mom, it's really that important? I said, yes, it's that important. He was like, okay, I'm going to sit here with you, Mom. I'm going to hold your hand. Because I even have a picture of my son and I going in the voting booth. I let him vote for me, because I didn't know if ever again in this lifetime, in my son's lifetime, that there would, he would ever have an opportunity to be able to vote for a person that looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you go on my Facebook page and you see a picture of my son, he looks like a young Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I wanted him to experience that, because we don't know if it'll ever happen again in this lifetime. Not for us. You understand?
Right.
So I had my friends take pictures of me and Glenn going in the voting booth. I took a picture of him. I lifted him up. I said, okay, that's the nom. Make sure you can. I know you're 11 years old. Read the name. Let's not make a mistake. Barack Obama. Okay? And then I said, you see this lever? You got to pull it from left to right. I said, do it like you mean it, son. And he did it. And he said, yay, Mom, I voted. And, you know, that's what, you know, there are memories when you have children that you want to create. That's one of a lot of those special moments that I had with my son, you know. I'm getting very, you know, full about it, but that's one thing that I'll always remember, that I got a chance to experience the opportunity to vote for somebody that looks like me and my son, and he was a part of that experience, you know.
That's
why, you know, at Bree Life Radio, we exercise the right to vote, and you all should exercise your right to vote. Regardless of who you're going to vote for. I can't tell you who to vote for, but you should vote, because it does matter. So having said that, Dwan, what do you think?
And I mean, we talked about a few things dealing with the election, but exactly, like what exactly?
Well, I mean, about the, do you have any thoughts about the election? Do you have a Are you ready to freestyle yet?
Yeah, I'm also ready to freestyle, but I just. You know, this election, it shows itself in many different ways. And one of the things that, you know, it's still a little frustrating to me is that, you know, out of all the information that has been brought to us, and I'm talking about us as in U.S. citizens, you know, concerning Mitt Romney, out of all the information, and I mean, you know, the truth will eventually come to light. There's a lot of things that came to light within these months of, you know, of them campaigning. And, you know, out of all of that, you know, to see that, you know, the Republicans are still running strong behind him. And not only that, but the votes are so close. You know, it just goes to show you that we're not racism is still alive, you know. Yeah. And that's the most, you know, that's the sad part about it. You know, that's what kind of gets to me. You know, I have to kind of shake myself because, you know, I have to realize that, you know, what is meant will, you know, what will be will be. But, you know, that kind of gets to me. You know, it just goes to show, you know, that, you know, we're not at a place where, you know, we're considered equal. You know, after all these movements, you know, even before me, you know, when Martin Luther King fought, you know, for African American rights, you know, our rights, you know, and then after that, in which Barack Obama became, you know, after he became president, and changed so many things, you know, and yet still, you know, they still look at him as though, you know, he did nothing, and you know, it's just to me, it's just very saddening, you know, it's saddening to see what's going on, but you know, we have to make sure that we're not naive to what's going on. We have to open our eyes and make sure we understand that we're not over this thing yet. You know, we're not over it yet. You know, so I mean that's just kind of my feel on it.
Okay.
That vote is so important. I just want to say that vote is so important, no matter what happens. But I want to at least be able to look myself in the mirror the next day and know that I did something. You know, rather than sit back and did nothing. You know, I can't, you know, and like what you were saying, Bree, about, you know, how you showed your son, that's something that he'll show his children, you know, and that's a wonderful thing, you know, mm-hmm. because we have to keep this going. The education, we got to keep, when we're no longer here and our children are going forward, they got to, you know, be able to teach this and have the same standards and, you know, and bring it to light like that, you know, because it's not being taught nowhere else. You know,
no, it's not. No, it's not. So, Dwan, you ready to freestyle?
Yeah, I do. I have an interesting question. You know, how long should a person wait after an engagement? You know, when you know either a man or a woman proposes to their partner. How long should they wait, or what's the minimum that should be allowed as far as from the actual engagement to becoming married, the actual wedding day? Like, how long should a person wait?
Well, that's interesting. And you know what? We have a caller coming in and to join the conversation. Let's see how they weigh in. Peace and blessings. We freestyling. Hello? Did we lose the person? Hello, we freestyling.
Oh. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Actually, I was trying to get in on that on the early conversation. There was actually two of them that I wanted to get in on, if you don't mind. When I first heard of Donald Trump and his absolutely ridiculous proposition it reminded me, right after Jesus was affirmed, he was taken up on the top of a mountain, and the devil tried to tempt him by saying, you know, I'll give you this world if you, you know, if you come on to my side.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that to be really interesting that here you have the most powerful man in the free world, and he's going to try to pimp him for $5 million. and I'm glad that the president was wise enough not to even acknowledge that foolishness. You know, I think it was an absolute insult. And, you know, I just think it was just totally out of place. And I think even from other folks, it showed what it was. I mean, this man is the president of the United States. He has nothing to answer to from Donald Trump. Donald Trump is in his country. He's not in Donald Trump's country.
That's right.
But on the flip side of it, I think regarding this whole election thing, and I mean, and I'm grateful to live in a country where we can have public discourse, where we can disagree and strongly disagree about things that are important to us. And I respect the right of anybody to vote any way they want to vote, to choose that which is within their best interest. What amazes me, though, is that in many cases, particularly with this election, and like I said, and I think the brother said earlier, I mean, this is unprecedented hate for this particular president, to the point where there were people who were saying that we will let the country suffer so that we can defeat this man. But what amazes me is that when you look at who is supporting Mitt Romney and who is supporting Mr. Ryan, you have people that are in the 47%. You have people mm-hmm. who are voting against their own self-interest. During this whole health care thing, there were people across this country, many of them white, that do not have health care, yet they were against Obamacare. And what? That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. You're poor. You don't have health care. Yet, because the person, you know, you don't like the messenger, you're going mm-hmm. to be against your own self-interest. You had, even when they were talking about the tax breaks, the Bush tax cuts and the tax cuts for the wealthiest of Americans, you have poor people that are mm-hmm. saying that we need to leave the rich folks alone. I don't get that. But I guess that's what adds to the lunacy of it all, that this is not about politics. It's not about policy. This is personal. Mm-hmm. And it's personal because there are people out there who do not like what it is that they see. I've had the opportunity to meet the president on 3 different occasions in the last 4 years. And, I mean, to tell you what an honor it was and to be able to converse with him and to realize that his mind and his heart is in the right place. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, and, you know, you recognize game when you see game. This is not game. I think that his problem was, and I told him this, was that in the very beginning, he had the political capital. Remember when President Bush said, I'm the decider, and he said he had capital, he was going to use his capital. I don't think the president wisely used his capital. He tried to be fair. He tried to go to the Democrats and say, let's work this out, and his own party jacked him up. And I think that was what his problem. I mean, you know, president, I mean, some things you can just do because you can just do them. And I wish that he would have, you know, utilize that bully pulpit a little bit more. I think when he wins, and I'm claiming that he's going to win, I think that you're going to see a much different Barack Obama. You're going to see one now who's not worried about second term, and I think
right.
he's just going to be like, he's just come out like, deuces, yo, this is what I'm about, and I'm just going to do it. You're going to see executive orders. He's going to circumvent Congress if Congress is playing these games, and, you know, and you're going to see really the true measure of a man who's going to leave our country in a much better position than which he found it. I thank you for listening.
Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Right.
Well, now we're ready to hear
Salon's freestyle.
Yeah, I mean,
that was your freestyle about the wedding theme? Was that your freestyle?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, when a man proposes to a you know, to his girlfriend, you know, his lady friend, you know, how long should she wait until the actual wedding day? Because I know people that have been engaged for 7 years plus, and mm-hmm. you know, there's still no wedding day planned. So.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. I think, well, first of all, and that, you know, that I saw that question recently being posed on Facebook, and here's what I want to say about that. I think that, especially depending on what your age group is, and if either one of you have been married before, and what type of wedding you're planning on having, there is no reason to be waiting 2 and 3 and 5 and 7 years. That's ridiculous. If you're in your 20s and you're trying to finish school, or you want to buy a house, or, I mean, you've got some big goal that you're both collectively trying to achieve, yeah. A couple of years won't hurt, because I'll tell you, the older you are, I would think that the more success you might have in being successfully married, because the older you, the more age, what age comes wisdom, supposedly. Not in some people's cases, but you know, you would like to think that people, when they make such a commitment to one another, they're ready for it. So yeah, you should wait a couple of years when you're in your 20s, but when you're in your late 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, why should you be engaged for 5+ years? That's ridiculous. I mean, what do you say, Red?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I think it's an individual choice. It depends on the couple and where they are in their life. I don't think there's a set rule. Years, many, many moons ago, there used to be all this wedding etiquette. Well, that went out the window. So now it's sort of made up as you go, depending upon whatever couple it is. So I've known younger couples to take their time because they're trying to achieve certain goals, and then older couples who get married right away because they're already at a certain point in life and they were just waiting to find each other. And once they did, they didn't see the point in waiting. So it really, it depends. It's an individual thing. So I don't know, but I know I wouldn't wait 5 years, 6 years with an engagement ring on my finger to marry someone, because at that point I'm thinking, well, we're not getting married. Because now I feel like I'm being led on, like you gave me a ring just so I can shut up, and I don't play those games. So, but you know, that's just
well. Now that I am 40 plus years old, should the opportunity ever present itself again for me to become engaged, I don't really want to wait a long time, but there are other things that I don't want to do either. Like, I want to live with a person for an extended period of time. Do I think that cohabitation is important to some degree? Yes, but for an extended period of time without being married, no, I'm not doing that. Because that's not the message I want to send to my son. So, and I don't want to be engaged for an extended period of time. First of all, here's what I say. I look at being in a relationship like four quarters of football. Anybody that knows me knows that I am a football fanatic. So I look at a relationship like four quarters. And each quarter there should be progression. And at the end of the four quarters, it's time to shit or get off the pot. Excuse my expression.
That's
what
real.
It is. You know?
That's what it is. You're not taking up. I'm 40 plus years old. You get 1 year to figure this out. If you can't figure this puzzle out in a year, you ain't never gonna figure it out. So don't waste no more of my time.
So that's your personal deadline, 365 days.
365 days from the moment that we decide that we're a couple, that individual has the opportunity to travel this roadmap. What the hell he getting himself into? And if you can't figure it out then, if you cannot figure it out by that time, you're never going to know.
That's for real. You can't wait forever.
No, I'm not waiting. I'm not going to wait forever.
Nobody can do it. It's just to jump in there, I just want to say that, you know, me personally, you know, when I first got married, I had to explain to my ex-wife that, listen, you know, I'm in the construction field. What I do on a daily level is dangerous. I said, I could be walking out telling you, see you later, and not come back home. And I've seen that from being in the business, in the industry. You know, you're not promised anything. And, my girlfriend now, my woman now, you know, I tell her it's very important that we tell each other we love each other every day and that I speak to you every day. I said, because when I go out there in the field, you know, I'm in the battlefield for real. It's, you know, I'm trying to do death-defying stuff, and I don't got wings or a rocket pack. when I'm up there in the air, you know, I tell her, you know, there's times I'm up there looking at New York City, and I think about her, you know, and I tell her, I try to. That's why every day I go out, you know, I got her picture on my wall. I kiss her picture before I go out that door because
it might be the last time. Wait, I get some hearts going because love actually exists like this. I mean, Hold on. I got to take a moment because there are two brothers on the line that are the most sincere brothers that I have encountered in years. I mean,
there are a lot of us out there. I just want to
hear that the love is coming out of their. I mean, they are just. I mean, it's coming out of every orifice. I mean, I'm just like overwhelmed by it.
Turned on.
No, it's not irritating because it's not mine. Okay, so let's be real.
What'd you say?
It's irritating to a point where all of y'all are happy in your little lovey space, and I'm sitting here like, oh, man, if he say one more thing about kissing pictures.
But I blame you for that. This could have been a whole other way, Sabrina. I blame you for that.
That's nobody not told me. You keep mixing us up.
Listen, nobody told you to go off and do the whirly. You should have said, let me look for Alvin. Because I was out there. That's your fault. Because I was out there. I hit the number. I could have bought you 5 engagement rings. So
okay,
that's your fault.
Wow. Wait a minute. That wasn't me.
So, fate goes the way. But hey, I found you today. You're my best friend. You can't, you know.
Absolutely.
But
Alvin.
I'm just keeping it.
That was Fred, honey. That was me. That wasn't Bree.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was telling Bree. But it was aimed at her.
Okay, Bree is welcoming and embracing your love fest. I'm over the love fest because I'm trying to find my love fest. And if you keep talking about kissing pictures and all the lovey-dovey stuff, I'm going to fall on the floor and melt into a pool of
my sister.
Okay.
My sister. There's no, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, there's times I've been at work, I've seen things happen in construction where people did, you know, coworkers that have passed away in the field. And I was like, wow. And I've known ones that was going to get married, and they wound up passing away in the field. And I was like, wow, you know, he's not going home no more. He just bought a house. These are some of the wakes I went to when I've seen these brothers pass. I was just like, you know, and it makes you think. And I wasn't in a relationship at the time, but I knew that when I did it again, that I knew where, I always wanted the woman to know where I stood, and I always wanted them to see that at the end of the day I'm going to be there. But just in case I'm not, you got to know that I love you today and right now. You know, I can't wait till 5 o'clock and then I come home and say I love you, because there might not be another 5 o'clock. You know, my time, I'm already going on 44, so my time is coming, you know. It's not getting extended, it's getting shortened. You know, so it's my time is here. I try to spend as much time with my son and show him things before I go, even though he's young. You know, I got to do it now. You know, I can't put a ring on a woman and then turn around and then, you know, because if I put a ring on her, listen, we're going to do this, because that ring is a symbol to show, you know, I want you to stand before the world and show the world that, you know, I do love you. It's not, you know.
Let me ask
I'm
you
not
something, Clary. Really,
yeah.
Are you marrying this lady?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're engaged?
Yeah. Well, when she get here, we will be. But when I went to Singapore, I was going to put a ring on her out there, but then I didn't do it. I didn't do it there. I said, you know, because I had a way I wanted to do it. So
oh, my gosh, please, somebody
you
help me. Please help me, please. Someone get off. Please, where's Mark? I can't take it. I cannot take it anymore. Okay. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this time, we're going to end the show. This has been I'm sorry?
I said, where's Alex? Get me somebody cynical, please.
Oh, Lord. As usual, this has been a very off-the-hook and a provoked thinking. I can't even get my words together. Show after what Alvin said. But I want to thank my co-host, Red Sable, my guest co-host, Juan, and my brother at arms, Alvin. Oh, my God.
I'm here for you. You know,
you're going to have to come back next week, because I'm definitely going to hear some more about what you just said. We didn't even get through. I'm going to have to do a show just on you.
We could do a show. I want to hear what, you know, I want to hear some of the things, because I'm like, oh, really? I want to, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm surprised, because I just thought love happens. I don't, you know. I didn't think my Indiana Jones tradition would, you know.
Does love just happen? And you know what? Me and Red going to sit back and let you host the show.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. You know, I'm with that.
Well, as always, in ending the show, I thank everyone who participated. I thank my listeners, and I just wish you all a safe weekend. We look forward to your participation and listening and supporting Bree Life Radio next week and for weeks to come. And I just want to let you know I love you all on purpose. So
good night.
Good night. God bless everyone.
God bless.